Hey listeners, if you have thought about joining the Nat Theo Club, now is the perfect time. We just released a brand new weekly resource for club members called Nat Theo Field Notes. Every Monday, you will receive a full color issue highlighting a creature or plant and what it teaches us about our Creator God. You'll also gain access to our full episode activity guides that go along with each podcast episode. Learn more and join at erinlynham.com/NatTheo. Thanks for supporting the Nat Theo podcast and future episodes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go. Got that smile upon my face, cause there's excitement in the chase, this I know.
Welcome to the Nat Theo podcast, where we explore nature, the Bible, and what both of them show us about our Creator God, who made this wild and wonderful world. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to explore God's Word and His created world with you. Hello, listeners, and happy first day of spring. Normally, the first day of spring is on March 20th or 21st, but because this is a leap year, it's on March 19th today. What are some of your favorite signs of spring? How do you normally know when spring is coming or has arrived? I normally know spring is here when I begin noticing more birds in our yard. On a recent morning, I woke up and looked out our front window to the big aspen trees in our yard, and there were 26 goldfinch birds in our aspen trees. That is a lot more than usual, and as I watched them, I realized why there were so many. Overnight, the flower buds on our aspen tree had opened up. Fuzzy things called catkins, which hold the tree's flowers, were beginning to burst out of the buds, a sure sign of spring weather. The goldfinches were eagerly snacking on these fuzzy catkins. I love spring because there is so much activity and so many signs of new life. Speaking of new life, do you know how a flower is born? Today, we are learning all about the life cycle of a flower. Here's our trail map. We are going to learn how do seeds grow into flowers and how are new seeds made. We will learn why are flowers important and what can flowers teach us about God's Word, the Bible. First, I have a trivia question for you. Which flower has the smallest seed? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's episode. Before we begin, you can download and print a free Hints of New Life, Scavenger Hunt, and Bible Lesson at erinlynham.com/NatTheo27 or at the link in today's show notes. Celebrate spring with this fun scavenger hunt activity as you explore God's wild and wonderful world and find hints of spring all around. Also, you can receive a full episode activity guide that goes along with today's lesson when you join the Nat Theo Club. Nat Theo Club members receive these guides with every episode, along with our weekly Field Notes publication, where we learn more about God's wild and wonderful world and all the creatures and plants He has made. You can learn more and join at erinlynham.com/NatTheo or at the link in today's show notes. I want to thank the Keys family who wrote this review of the Nat Theo podcast on Apple. I love Nat Theo Nature Lessons Rooted in the Bible, and I also love the worksheet that goes with it. Keys family, thank you for listening and for your review. I am thrilled that you are enjoying the podcast and additional resources. Listeners, ratings and reviews are one of the biggest ways you can help us get Nat Theo to more families. As you rate and review, the podcast platforms recommend Nat Theo to more families like yours. Please take a moment today to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. So how do seeds grow into flowers? You might already know that flowers come from seeds. In fact, have you ever planted flower seeds? Maybe, like my family, you've planted big, showy flowers like sunflowers. Sunflowers are very fun to plant because they grow quickly and they can be very large. And some birds, like goldfinches, absolutely love to snack on their seeds. So sunflowers can be a great flower to plant if you want to bring birds to your yard. But how does a small seed grow into a beautiful plant with stems, leaves, and flower heads? How can so much beauty be wrapped tightly into a tiny little package? Inside of a seed is a tiny plant called an embryo. Did you know that you once were an embryo also? Not a plant embryo, of course. But the word embryo simply refers to the very first stage of growth and development. So a human embryo is a tiny baby just beginning to grow in the mother's womb. You began as an embryo the size of an itty-bitty seed. Even at that tiny size, God already had incredible plans for your life. By the time you grew to about an inch, your brain was already developing and your heart was already beating. Isn't that incredible? A flower seed has an embryo inside as well, although it is far less complex than a human embryo, mainly because a flower doesn't have a spirit or a soul. But a flower seed and embryo are still complex and incredible designs. A flower embryo, that tiny plant wrapped up in the flower seed, remains dormant for a long time. Do you know what dormant means? Dormant means to be inactive or not active. A flower seed stays dormant or inactive until it detects the right conditions for growth. When those right conditions happen, the seed begins to grow. There are four main stages of growth for the seed. Let's look at them. First is germination. The seed, which is tucked beneath the dirt or soil, soaks up water. This causes expansion in the embryo's cells. That might sound rather confusing, but think of it like a sponge soaking up water. The seed with the embryo inside is expanding and getting larger. Secondly, in the case of most plants, a seed sends out a single root downward into the soil. A root has two very important jobs. Do you know what those jobs are? First, a root's job is to anchor the plant. Have you ever ridden on a boat and someone put down an anchor into the water? What does the anchor do? It keeps the boat where it should be. The same is true with plant roots. Of course, the plant isn't going to walk away, but the roots help anchor it in place and give it stability and strength, so that if, say, it gets very windy outside, the plant does not blow away. The second important job of a root is to act like a straw, sucking up moisture and nutrients from the soil to help feed the plant. Okay, so we have had germination, when that seed is soaking up moisture, and now it has sent down its first root. Third, the plant is now going to send up its first shoot. Do you know what a plant shoot is? A plant shoot is the first part of the plant we can see above the ground. This first shoot pushes up out of the soil, and an important process begins. It begins to photosynthesize. Do you know what photosynthesis is? We learned about it on episode 8, titled Why Do Flowers Follow the Sun? Photosynthesis is a process controlled by sunlight that puts things in the plant together to turn them into energy. Basically, it allows a plant to use the sun's energy to make food. So now that the first shoot of the plant is out of the ground, it can receive sunlight and begin to make its own food so it can grow more. Fourth and finally, the plant is going to develop its first leaves. In many plants, the first set of leaves are not true leaves. Do you remember what the plant embryo is? That baby plant wrapped up in the seed? The embryo includes something called cotyledon. Cotyledon are those first leaf-like structures that are tucked into the seed. And after the first shoot emerges, the cotyledon unfurl like first leaves to help the plant photosynthesize. Again, the cotyledon are not true leaves, so they might not look like the other leaves that will grow after them. At this point, with more roots growing and with the plant actively making food from the sun's energy, it can continue to grow and develop true leaves and later flower heads. So now we know how a seed grows into a flower. But where do seeds come from? Of course, you can walk into a store and buy packets of seeds. But where do those seeds come from? Let me answer that question with a story. A couple of years ago, our family planted some flower gardens in our yard. We chose types of flowers that are native to where we live. That means they naturally belong and grow here. They do very well in our climate and conditions. We also chose plants that pollinate, meaning they provide lots of food for insects and birds. Our gardens are what we call native pollinator gardens, and they serve an important purpose of creating habitat for insects, birds, and animals. If you are using the Nat Theo episode activity guide, you can flip to the native pollinator garden page for tips and ideas of how to plant your own native pollinator garden. We did not actually plant our garden from seeds. Instead, we ordered baby plants that had already begun growing and had not only first shoots, but several shoots. I was very surprised by how quickly our plants grew. With how small they had been when we put them into the dirt, I didn't know if we would even get any flowers that first year. But within a couple of months, we began seeing flower buds. Then they opened and unfurled into beautiful flowers. At the end of the growing season, when the flowers had dried out, we went out to collect the dried seeds that were still on the flower heads. My daughter and I gently cupped our fingers around the flower heads and pinched the seeds right off into our hands. We saved those seeds and planted new flowers from them the following year. You see, while one seed makes one flowering plant, that flowering plant can make many, many more seeds that can then become more plants. Last summer, we noticed several new milkweed plants growing in our yard. If you have listened to episode 2, you might remember that milkweed is the only plant monarch butterflies lay their eggs on. And sure enough, last summer we found 5 monarch caterpillars on our milkweed plants that we took care of and watched turn into monarch butterflies. We did not actually plant milkweed in our yard. So where did it come from? There are a few patches of milkweed around our neighborhood, and seeds from those plants blew into our yard. When the conditions were right, those seeds then germinated and grew into new milkweed plants. You see, listener, God created us to be gardeners. Gardening was actually the first ever job God gave to a person. In Genesis 2:15, we read, "The Lord God put the man in the Garden of Eden to care for it and work it." However, God also created flowers and plants to grow and spread on their own. In Genesis chapter 1, where we read about God creating everything, we read in verses 11 to 12, "Then God said, let the earth produce plants, some to make grain for seeds, and others to make fruits with seeds in them. Every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant." And it happened. The earth produced plants with grain for seeds, and trees that made fruits with seeds in them. Each seed grew its own kind of plant. God saw that all of this was good. God created plants to make more plants of their own kind. And he gave us humans the important and fun job of taking care of plants and everything he made in creation. This job of taking care of God's plants is important not only because flowers are pretty to look at. We need them for our food supply. Wait, flowers for food? Now, we are not going around eating flowers. But remember, seeds are inside of flowers. So flowers are a very important part of a plant being able to make more plants. Did you know that even apple trees have flowers? Or if you have ever grown a vegetable garden, that those vegetable plants have flowers? I love seeing the little white flowers that grow from our pepper plants in our garden. Flowers make seeds, which then make more plants, including plants that grow food. Flowers also produce something called nectar. Have you ever heard that word? Nectar is a sweet liquid inside flowers that insects and some birds rely on. As insects and birds feed on nectar from flowers, they take part in an incredible process called pollination. Pollination is a super cool design God put into nature, and we will need to save it for another episode. But just know that it is absolutely necessary for growing new plants. It is all a part of God's design to fill the world with his beautiful and important plants, many of which we get our food from. And not only fruits and vegetables. Did you know that even chocolate begins with a plant that has flowers? Yes, without flowers, we would have no chocolate. Indeed, flowers are very important. If you have ever planted flowers or watched them grow in your yard, you might notice that they do not live very long. Flowers come in two main categories, annual and perennial. Annual flowers only grow for one growing season. So you might plant them in your yard and enjoy them in the spring, summer, and fall, but then they are done. Perennial flowers will grow for several growing seasons. They have very strong roots, which allow them to grow back year after year. So even though they might look dead in the winter, come spring, they send up new shoots and begin growing again. However, in both cases, the actual flower heads, the beautiful part of the flower with petals, only lasts a very short time. At the end of the season, it can be sad to see the flowers drying out and dying. But the Bible uses this as a beautiful picture and reminder. Listen to Isaiah 48. "The grass dies and the flowers fall, but the word of our God will live forever." You see, listener, except for us, everything in creation, everything in nature is temporary, including flowers. Because this world is cursed by sin, it will not last forever. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The Bible tells us God is making a new heaven and earth for us to one day fully enjoy with him. If we choose to follow Jesus and let him be our Savior, we can know we will enjoy a perfect life with him on the new earth. But what about right now? It can be hard to see flowers fade away. But when we do, we can remember what never fades away is God's word. The Bible is an incredible gift God gave us. In it, we find comfort and wisdom for life. In the Bible, we learn the truth of what Jesus did for us and how to be saved by him and live for him. Unlike flowers, God's word will never fade away. It is everlasting, just like God himself. Psalm 119:89 says, "Lord, your word is everlasting." So when you see a flower drying out, let it be a beautiful reminder to you that God's word will never dry out. It will never fade. It lives forever. Do you remember our trivia question? What flower has the smallest seed? The smallest seed is found in an orchid plant. Orchids have beautiful flowers. Maybe you've seen them in stores. Some orchids even grow natively here in Colorado. Last year, I took a 3-day wildflower class up in the Rocky Mountains, and I found 3 types of wild orchids. The seeds inside an orchid plant are the size of a speck of dust. Think about that. God wrapped up so much beauty inside something as small as a speck of dust. Creation is truly amazing. Now it's your turn to explore. Go on a springtime scavenger hunt using our Hints of New Life devotional and scavenger hunt activity. Download it at erinlynham.com/nattheo27. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this lesson. If you did, please take a moment to share it with a friend and remember to subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. The wind and let the challenge drop.